Gospel this morning comes from the Gospel of John, chapter 2, verses 1 through 11. We're going to ask you to stand out of respect for God's Word as I read this. If you have your Bibles there, and there are Bibles in the pew as well, I encourage you to open up to John chapter 2, beginning of verse 1. In Jesus' name. On the third day, there was a wedding in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. And both Jesus and his disciples were invited to the wedding. When the wine ran out, the mother of Jesus said to him, "They have no wine." And Jesus said to her, "Woman, what does that have to do with us? My hour has not yet come." And his mother said to the servants, "Whatever he says to you, do it." Now there were six stone water pots set there for the Jewish custom of purification, containing 20 or 30 gallons each. And Jesus said to them, "Fill the water pots with water." So they filled them to the brim. And he said to them, "Draw some out and take it to the head waiter." So they took it to him. When the head waiter tasted the water, which had become wine, he did not know where it came from. But the servants who had drawn the water knew. The head waiter called the bridegroom. And he said to him, "Every man serves the good wine first. And when the people have drunk freely, then he serves the poor wine. But you have kept the good wine until now." This beginning of his signs Jesus did in Cana of Galilee and manifested his glory, and his disciples believed in him. Let us pray. Lord, today we just lift it up to you. Lord, that as I share what you've laid upon my heart, Lord, may it touch and move the hearts of your people. Lord, as we look to you, lead us and guide us today, Lord, as we walk through your word. In thy name we pray. Many of you have probably already noticed that in the bulletin I titled my message, "Running on Empty." We just sang a hymn about taking everything to the Lord in prayer. How many of you walked in here this morning without having taken everything to the Lord in prayer first? Our text today is about a wedding, and there's no such thing as a perfect wedding. There's always going to be problems, some small problems, some large problems, but there's always going to be a problem at a wedding. Well, this morning we're going to look at a wedding that took place in Cana, and it was a large problem that was taking place. They were quickly running out of refreshments. They were running out of wine. The celebration would be over if they ran out of wine. The joy would be gone, and this wedding ceremony was running empty. They were running completely on empty. Among those of you that are here this morning, I would imagine there are some of you this morning are running on empty. You thought you had enough reserves to carry you through. You thought you could do it on your own. And you're running on empty. You have absolutely come to the end of your rope. Your joy is gone. The peace in your heart is gone. It's going to take a miracle to put that joy back into your life, because you have taken and walked away. God wants to fill you with new wine. God wants to restore that joy in your heart again. He wants to give you the joy to the rest of your journey here on earth. But to find out how that's going to happen, let's look at this miracle. The miracle that Jesus did at the wedding in Cana. And we do know, as we look at this, we're going to discover that there are four steps that you and I have to take. In our lives, before Jesus Christ can fill our lives with this overflowing joy. Number one, admit there's a problem. Oh, boy. One of the hardest things for most of us is to admit that there's a problem. When Jesus walked here on earth in Israel, weddings were usually a whole week long. They'd get married, and they did not get a chance, the couple, to go off by themselves. No, they were surrounded totally by family and friends. How many of you would like to have your mother-in-law watching every move you made for the first week of your married life? See some smiles out there. Mother-in-laws have gotten a bad rap. Sharon always told me that she was so blessed to have a mother-in-law. 10 years ago, my mom went to be with the Lord, and Sharon has missed her so much. But I'm blessed. I still have a mother-in-law whom I love dearly. Mother-in-laws have a very special place in the hearts of people. But this week-long festival, there was food and there was drink. But the groom's family was the one that was responsible for providing this. When we look at this portion of Scripture, we see that there are some people at this wedding whom we know. Mary, the mother of Jesus, was there, and so was Jesus and his first disciples. But Jesus, if you read and understand Scripture, Jesus came to this wedding festival on the third day. Did you see that in Scripture? Did you listen when that was read today? Now, humanly, we think Jesus came late. We're so quick as humans to always think that we know best. But Jesus always comes right on time. Jesus comes when we need him. Jesus came just as the wine was running out. Jesus comes when people recognize there is a need for him. This morning, do you have a need for Jesus Christ? You know, it's interesting how, for the Jewish tradition, the wine represented joy at this wedding ceremony. It was to be a joyous celebration, and without the wine, that seemed to be an impossibility for them. When the wine ran out, the party was going to be over. You know, you've all seen ads on TV that they portray that when you run out of something or aren't able to find something, that you've lost the joy and you've lost all hope. Well, all of the joy and all of the hope is not lost just because we don't have a product here, but rather it's really much more important here that we understand that the wine was running out, the wedding was running on empty, and what were they going to do? If the bride knew what was happening, the bride would probably have said something like this. My wedding ceremony is not supposed to be like this. What are people going to say when they find out that we ran out of wine? Kind of sounds like some of us today when we run into a problem. What are people going to say? Maybe some of you have had these very thoughts at your own wedding so many years ago. But marriage is not supposed to be a time of horror as you go through the wedding ceremony. That's not the experience that you're looking for. Parenting is not supposed to be filled with sorrow. Christianity is not supposed to be like this, running on empty. I'm supposed to be overflowing with joy in my Christian walk. But nothing seems to be happening in my life. I thought it was rather interesting. Patty brought up that we were studying love. Well, last week and this coming week, we are studying joy because we're going through the fruits of the Spirit in our Wednesday night Bible study. We talked about joy last week. We're going to continue that discussion this week. But sometimes in our Christian walk, the joy is gone. We're running on empty. For some of you today, your joy is very low. You thought that you were going to have enough joy to make it through this period of life into the next one. But you were wrong. You're running on empty. You may not even know where your joy went. You may have just woke up one morning and it seemed like that the whole supply of joy that you had was drained from you, and you have nothing to live for. There seems to be no hope. Something in your life, something you didn't anticipate, came along and it took your joy. Maybe it was some particular person that has come into your life because of their attitude, because of their actions. It just drained you of the joy. So oftentimes in churches, that's what happened. A misspoken word, a misunderstanding. And all of a sudden, the joy is stolen from that congregation. But you know, one of the biggest and most important reasons for us to understand why we lose our joy is because of sin is in our lives. We've allowed sin in. You remember King David? King David went out and he committed adultery. And then what did King David do? He tried to cover it up. King David finally could no longer withstand God's convictions upon his heart. And what did David do? David confessed his sins and asked God to restore him. Psalms 51. I encourage you to read that chapter sometime. I'm going to read verses 8 and 12 out of Psalms 51 today. Make me to hear joy and gladness. Let the bones which you have broken rejoice. Restore me the joy of your salvation and sustain me with a willing spirit. David's cry of repentance. Wanting to be restored. Wanting his broken bones to rejoice again. That's David's plea for forgiveness. David knew that his sin had caused him to lose his joy and to run on empty. The first step to seeing that joy is restored was to admit his problem to God. That's what Mary did. Mary admitted that they needed more wine, and who did she admit it to? She admitted it to Jesus Christ, her son, our Lord. And that's what you and I need to be willing to do, is we need to be willing to admit when we're running dry, when we're running on empty. How many times that is so hard for us when we time and time again find that we are running on empty. We have to admit that to God, go back to Him. How many of you, when you come to church on Sunday morning, you drive into that parking lot and you plaster on a smile and somebody asks you how you are and you say, fine? Sunday mornings, sometimes as Christians, we're some of the biggest fakers in the world. Because I know that if I sat down with each and every one of you today, individually, that I could probably, out of conservatively 30% of you, that there's a problem in your life. And it's probably a whole lot higher than that. But we're so hung up on that we are not going to admit to our brothers and sisters that we need prayer and that we need help. We'd rather plaster on a smile and somebody asks us how we are, we're fine. There's nothing I hate worse than the standard answer that I'm fine. For years, I used to take and get so frustrated with that because people never really wanted to know how I was when they would ask me. So I used to enthusiastically answer, I'm great. And you know what happened? Every time people stopped and looked at me as to what is wrong with you. If you're not interested in how I am, then why do you ask? God wants us to reach out to one another. And we need to be willing to admit to God that we're having a problem. We have to admit that our joy is left us, that we're running on empty. But once that we have gone to God and admitted that problem, then there's something that God can do about that. And there's something that we can do. Number two, when we admit it, we need to bring the problem to Jesus. Bring it to Him. When Mary realized that there was a problem, she correctly took it to Jesus. What did our hymn just say? Take it to Jesus. Take it to God in prayer. Mary believed that Jesus was going to solve the problem. That's what Mary believed. The family may not have planned very well for this wedding ceremony. Maybe it was that Mary just felt that, you know, they didn't do very well, but we did one thing right. We invited Jesus. How many of you, in your prayers this morning, invited Jesus into this sanctuary? Isn't it interesting we just assume that Jesus is going to be here? We forget sometimes to invite Him. You know, when I do a wedding, I always tell the young couple that this is not a twosome marriage. It needs to be a threesome. And we need to invite Jesus Christ into this relationship and into the ceremony. Yes, knowing that Jesus is here this morning means that we have power this morning in this congregation. It means that no matter what the problem any one of us has, it's not too big for Jesus Christ. But we need to be willing to face our problem, and we need to take it to Jesus. He'll give us the joy to carry us through it. Are we ready? Or do we want to continue to run on empty? Mary communicated with Jesus, told him the problem, but did you notice that Jesus' response was rather cold and hard? When you and I take our problems to God, to Jesus Christ, sometimes doesn't it feel like the windows to heaven are closed? Well, it might seem that way. It might seem that God's response to you and I is kind of cold and kind of hard. But the response truly was to let Mary know that Jesus' obligation to his earthly parents had now come to an end, and he needed to respond to God as Father. Are you folks ready to take the move and say, Lord, I'm going to release it, and you are going to be number one? You are the one I'm going to consult first. The obligation is the Heavenly Father. That's who we are obligated to first. When we go to God with our requests, we must never forget that God knows best. We oftentimes think that we should command God. But that's not how it works. God commands us to love him and to serve him. It's not us commanding God what to do or not to do. It's to going to him with our requests, our petitions. God knows what's going to bring joy in our lives. And God is still doing miracles today. Thank you, Russell. God did a miracle. But Russell learned a lesson again as he shared that with us this morning. There's miracles happening all around us. He's answering prayers. But did you know that God does it in his time and in his way? Isn't that what Russell was saying? Is that God answered it in his time? He knew that Russell had to struggle with that car for 2 days to come to the point to turn it all over. And God says, now that you have turned it all over, your car is going to start. The joy was back. But Russell had to run on empty to come to that understanding. But you know what? There is one prayer that God will always answer. And that prayer is the prayer of forgiveness. If we are truly repentant, if we are very sorrowful for our sin, and we come to him, God will answer that prayer and give us forgiveness. What a miracle. The miracle of forgiveness, and we will be filled with his joy. Number three, do whatever Jesus tells you to do to fix the problem. Do what Jesus tells you to do to fix the problem. Oh, Russell, I'm going to use it again. He wanted to be his own man. Isn't that our ego sometimes as males? We get it, it gets in our way. But what did they do? They invited Jesus to the party, and he brought and provided great joy. Why would you not want to invite Jesus to a Sunday morning worship service so that we could be filled with joy? Just being in the presence of Jesus will not bring you joy. That being said, when Jesus was here on earth, there was opportunity for people to be in his presence, and what did they do? They rejected him, They fought against him. And one day, there will be millions and millions and millions of people standing before the Lord Jesus Christ. And many of those millions, as Patty was saying today, they will be shaking with fear because of judgment. Is he going to turn to you and say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant"? Or is he going to turn to you and say, "I know you not. Get thou behind me, Satan"? Hurts when you think about it, doesn't it? It's hard. But in order to be filled with joy, we must make Jesus master of our lives. That's why just being in his presence isn't enough. We need it inside. Just so you understand what I'm saying, that we must listen to him, we must be obedient to him. Are you ready to be obedient to him? And through obedience comes joy. Mary told the servants to do whatever Jesus said to do. You know, isn't it interesting? Jesus was very hard on Mary. But Mary then just immediately turns to the servants and says, "Do what he tells you to do." She didn't question him. Jesus was no longer a guest at this ceremony. He was all of a sudden in control. People are perfectly willing to let Jesus be a guest in their lives, but they don't want Jesus to be in control of their lives. People are not willing to turn over control. People don't like to be told what they have to do. And it's because of stubbornness that so many people missed the miracle that could have changed their lives. The 6 jars were filled with water. The servants were obedient. Simply being obedient in going to church will not produce joy in your life. Simply being obedient and attending church will not bring joy. A simple outward show is not what God wants from you and I. If we do not deal with sin within our lives, that guilt will lead us to depression. We must practice the things that we learn on Sunday mornings. How quickly do we forget what was preached on Sunday morning? How quickly do we forget what we were studying in Bible study on Wednesday nights? Praise God, many of you don't just forget it. Because Wednesday nights there's some that come that comment and make an additional comments about what Sunday's message had said to them and how it had changed them that week. Or Wednesday nights, you know, Bible studies. Oftentimes I will hear comments days later. Does that kind of put a feather in my cap or boost my ego? Sometimes yes, and I have to be very careful with that, that I keep reminding myself and others that it's not me that needs the glory, but God himself. God is using me only as a vessel. I want to say that most of you here today in church would probably admit that you really want more joy in your life. But in order for you to receive that joy, you must be willing to be obedient to God. Even when God asks you to do something you don't want to do, you need to be willing to be obedient. The servants were obedient. Maybe it's your priorities need to be rearranged. Maybe it's the amount of joy that you are experiencing in your life is the amount of obedience that you're giving to God. How obedient are we being to God today? The greater our obedience, the greater the supply of joy that's going to be given to us. Number four, commit yourself to Jesus, the problem solver. Commit yourself to Jesus, the problem solver. Mary's request for the wine was fulfilled. But it was not done in Mary's timing or in her way. But the results were far greater than anyone could ever have imagined. The result was because of faith. Mary believed. The disciples even put their faith in Jesus Christ that day because of what they had seen. These two miracles that took place. First one, the wine being turned into water. But the second miracle that is so often missed in this portion of Scripture was so much more significant, was so much greater, and that was the disciples giving their hearts to Christ. Going from condemned sinners to forgiven children of God to live eternally. When a person commits themselves to Jesus, this is what we need to do for that person is to rejoice. And I want you to rejoice with me because the lost is found. This is what Apostle Paul said. He said, rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. So, can you say that everything Can you say that everything you have is all that you need for joy? Is your life being held together by joy? Well, there's no such thing as a perfect wedding. There's no such thing as a perfect life, is there? We're all human beings. We all fail. But how are you going to respond to the things that don't go your way? Suppose these things that don't go your way steals your joy. Are you going to obey God and rejoice in that situation, even when it seems like it's next to impossible? Well, the Lord says, either you rejoice or you're going to be wallowing in self-pity. Do you want the kind of joy that God gives today? Then there's four things that you've got to do. First of all, you have to admit that you don't have it right now. You have to admit it to Christ. And number two, you need to bring your need to Christ. Once you've admitted it, then you need to bring it to Him. And number three, you need to do whatever He tells you to do. And number four, you need to commit yourself 100% to Christ. Amen. Lord, again today, I just thank You. Oh, Lord, what a joy to proclaim Your word again. But Lord, may it go much deeper. May it change, God. May it change Your people. May it lead them closer to You. Lord, we just lift it all to You. Give it to You. In Thy name we pray. Amen. Let's take our hymnal and let's turn to 509. It's Glory to God be the glory. Great things He has done. And if that isn't what this really sums it all up to, I'm not sure how else we can put it, but to God be the glory. Great things he has done.
To God be the glory, great things he hath done. So long he dwelt world that he gave us his Son, who yielded his life an atonement for sin, and opened the life gate that all may go in. Praise the Lord, let the earth hear his voice. Praise the Lord, let the people rejoice. Oh, come to the Father through Jesus the Son, and give him the glory, great things he hath done. Oh, perfect redemption, the purchase of blood, to every believer the promise of God. The vilest offender who truly believes that moment from Jesus a pardon receives. Praise the Lord, let the earth hear his voice. Praise the Lord, let the people rejoice. Come to the Father through Jesus the Son, and give him the glory, great things he hath done. Great things he hath taught us, great things he hath done, and great our rejoicing through Jesus the Son. But purer and higher and greater will be our wonder, our transport, when Jesus Christ see. Praise the Lord, let the earth hear his voice. Praise the Lord, let the people rejoice. Oh, come to the Father through Jesus the Son, and give him the glory, great things he hath done.
In the bulletin, it does not say anything about singing the table prayer, but we will be singing that following God Be With You, so remember that too, so that we are ready then as the ladies are pulling things together this morning as well. Let's stand and let's pray the prayer that Jesus taught his disciples. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.